Welcome to Dividing Line, a show designed to show the believer and the non-believer alike that everything we say or do is ultimately judged by God's Word. Hosting Dividing Line, Bill and Ruth.
Well, this is Bill and Ruth Dar, Dividing Line. Our program today will be part three based on our recent trip to Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, this trip was to be part of OSA's annual event this year in Charlotte. Your thought, your question might be, why go to another convention, another Christian retreat? Another time of hearing helpful messages while enjoying the beauty and the special events of a new city. Well, that is a fair question, and although much of Christendom is occupied in entertaining, bless-me and pamper-me types of conventions and retreats, the week-plus time in Charlotte was anything but that. Operation Save America, as the name implies, is a national organization that is calling Christians, individually and collectively, to repentance before a holy God. With worship, training, and powerful, inspiring, and challenging messages each evening, we spent each day then delivering God's love to a hurting and unrepentant people, usually accepted by those who understood their need and therefore are teachable. This good news is frequently rejected by the organized church. Some would rather demonize the messenger rather than consider and respond proactively to the message. But the message of God's love for His creation, His love for every person from conception to natural death and then throughout eternity, must go out. It is a message told throughout the Scriptures from Genesis through Revelation. It is God's love story to each of us. From the stories beginning with Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis, God reminds us of His love for each of us. Then we read of how sin developed a gap between perfect God and sinful man. Only blood atonement would suffice and bridge that gap. And the Old Testament describes how unblemished animals were used in the sacrifice for sin. But God had a better way. He had a permanent, eternal way to bridge the gap between God and man. As the prophet puts it so clearly and passionately in Isaiah chapter 53, God's way was and is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin, though He was tempted as each of us during His 33 years on this earth, was and is the way, the only way to God, John 14:6. As we begin this program today, will you accept God's gift to you, salvation to an eternity in heaven? Folks, it's a free gift from Almighty God. Please consider this gift of God's grace and mercy by first repenting and turning to Him and then accepting His grace through His Son. In the first segment of our program today, we'll play an interview Ruth had with Kitty and Chris, and then later an interview with Lisa Metzger. And during the second half of the program, we'll play Ruth's interview with Scott Heldreth. We'll begin today with the interview with the mother and sister of OSA's National Director, Flip Benham.
Hello, this is Ruth Dar with Dividing Line, and we're on the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina today. We're out at the abortion clinic at La Trobe. And I have two women here with me who are probably the most faithful women that I've heard about across the country. One is Flip Benham's mother, Kitty, and his sister, Chris. And they are at this clinic five days a week. And they've made such a difference. And as they say, they didn't do it. And we know God did it. But it's their presence here that has made the difference. And this is what we want people to know, that just being at the clinic, being there, making a presence, letting the girls know that they're not alone, there's someone there who cares, can make them choose life for their little ones. So I don't know how long you've been here. Kitty, I want to start with you. When did you begin doing this?
Oh, I helped Flip out when he was in Dallas, off and on, then in Kissimmee, Florida, and when he came down, and we did the protest right at Disney World. So it's been over a length of time. But when my daughter came down, that's when we started to do this every day.
Well, you had the buddy. You had someone to come with you, right? So
yeah,
that makes
nice.
A difference.
Uh-huh. Yes, it does make a difference.
Tell me what your heart is. When you see the girls come in, what motivates you to say, and how do you know what to say? I have a lot of people say, what do you say to them? So what do you say to the girls?
Well, I really can't tell you. It's just hoping that they will come out in any way that you can say it.
Okay.
So that they will save their babies, but it's not any special thing that you say.
You really rely on the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, to give you the words.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
So one, it might be, you know, don't kill your baby. Another one, we're here for you. We're here to help you.
It all depends on the person.
Okay, I understand that. That's good. Chris, how about you?
Well, I usually try to tell them about the help we have for them and that there are choices to be made and let them know that God doesn't make mistakes. He created that baby for a reason, and it definitely was not to take them in there and kill that child. And I try to let them know that what's going on in their life right now today won't be going on in their life 6 months from now, 1 year from now, 2 years from now. But once they kill that baby, there's no bringing that baby back.
And I try to let
them really understand that and get it into their heart. And then show them our pamphlets. And I'll tell you, Human Life Alliance is just wonderful. They give them to you for free. I always do donate to them. But in 500, quantities of 500, and they have them in Spanish and in English. So I just want to tell you, I'm very thankful for them. And Hayes Publishing has been wonderful. But we just try and get these women just to get them out of there.
We're all in this together, aren't
we? Yes, we are. Yes,
and
we
whatever
are.
You do, if you're publishing the material and offering it to us and the people who come out, it just makes a difference.
And it's very important to be here. Just being here is important. I've had girls stop and tell us, you know, a year ago I was coming in here, but because I saw your sign, Malachi, I'm going to tell you this, Malachi. Baby Malachi has saved so many babies, and babies that we don't even know that have been saved.
Yes.
I had a young gal that was Hispanic. I had to call a Hispanic gal to find out, and she said because she saw Malachi, that brought her out of there. And so many of them go in there, and then the abortionist doesn't come here sometimes 3-4 hours. They're sitting back there. They could be 7 hours back there. And they come out, and we just don't know how many have come out of there saved their babies.
Yes.
So we only know of 710 that we know of, but God knows of a lot more.
Right.
But just coming here and showing up makes all the difference in the world.
Yes.
You don't have to do anything. Just show up and be faithful.
That's what people don't understand. Now, in the last 18 months, you have recorded
710.
710 babies saved.
Yes, that we know of. That's between the three abortion mills. That's between Hebron, Wendover, and Latrobe.
Okay.
The city of Charlotte.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, tell me the story. I just heard it about the lady that had come for the third time.
Oh, her name is Amanda. She came, I think it was 2 weeks ago. She just pulled up. We were standing out there, and I thought, she's going to yell at me because I've got a graphic sign. She said, I just wanted to thank you. Right in the back seat, this is my daughter, Victoria. She will be 1 month old in 1 week. Oh. 1 month old. She said, I came here to thank you. I came to Latrobe 3 separate times to kill this child. And because I kept seeing you out there, the Lord worked in my heart, and I saved the baby, and I just came here to thank you.
Now, she said because she saw you out here. Do you remember talking to her?
No, and I don't think we even talked to her. I don't even think we talked to her. I think just us being out here that I know of, I don't remember her, but so many people come in and out.
Uh-huh.
But if we had talked to her, because I think I would have remembered her. She was very pretty, blonde gal. I think I would have remembered her. But I think just for us being out there in the signs. And
that's one of the most powerful messages. Well, I know that the little Malachi sign, Malachi means God's messenger.
Yes.
And he's probably been one of the biggest messengers for these people that we've had in all these years, because he does show death versus life. That's so powerful. Well, Chris and Kitty, thank you so much for this interview, and I look forward to others hearing it. And this has been Ruth Darr with Dividing Line. Thank you.
Okay, well, the sound, the quality wasn't the best in the world, folks, but I hope you got the gist of the message there. I mean, it was just incredible. Certainly there are other people involved around town there in Charlotte, but these two ladies happen to be the mother and the sister of National Director Flip Benham. I tell you, they have been incredibly faithful. And the message, at least I heard more than anything, and I believe people would say that across the country, it's not the ability, it's not what you say, it's your presence. It's the fact you're there and you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and let them know that they don't have to kill their child. We will help you. So, honey, I know you want to expand on that.
Well, that was very exciting. I, like I said to her, many people come up to me and say, what do you say? What do you say? You know, I stand and pray most of the time because I don't know what to say. But when I need to, God gives me the words to say. Yes. So they prove that true. Just being there, just their presence. Well, we have another devoted mother who's willing to raise up children that understand that life isn't just about us. It's about babies being sacrificed. And we need to take a stand, all of us.
Hello, this is Ruth Darr with Dividing Line, and we're here on the streets of Charlotte. We're actually at an abortion clinic. We're at La Trobe Abortion Clinic. And I've met a wonderful mom here. I've met a lot of wonderful moms. And her name is Lisa Metzger, and I'm here with these beautiful children, several beautiful children, and I want her to tell us kind of her story, how it got started. I know you tell us about how many you have, and how you've adopted some too. So can you tell us your story?
I sure can. We have 8 children, 5 biological, 3 adopted. We had 2 biological children, 3 and 1 at the time we adopted Annalise from Kazakhstan. She was 10 years old at the time. Completely a faith thing, went out on a limb, trusted God, saw miracles happen every day as we needed little bits of money here and there for her adoption. Lord provided every, you know, find a check in our door, you know, for the exact amount needed when we didn't even express that need to other people. It was a God thing. Then we went on to have another child, Julia, and adopted 2 boys, half brothers from Missouri, and that was in 2007. And right after we adopted them, 4 months later, we had Ellie.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, we went from 4 children to 7 children in 4 months' time to the day.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was a God thing, too. And their mother has an open adoption, whereas Annalise has a closed adoption. And we don't have contact with her mother, though we'd be open to be doing that. But Right. We just don't have that. The boys talk to their mother regularly. So that's a blessing, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Send pictures. And
we do.
She's
in Missouri still, and okay. So and we're in North Carolina, so there's a bit of distance there. But she comes to see them about once a year, and she talks to them about once a month, and we send every picture we take of them to her, so she's very aware of, you know, the life that they have now. And
how did you connect with her? How did you find her?
She find you? We were going to do foster to adopt. But we were told our family with 4 kids was too large. No matter how many kids we were open to adopting, no matter what race or what age. So, after we had kind of given up because we got pregnant with Ellie, when I was 20 weeks pregnant, we got contacted by our agency's sister agency in Missouri who had 2 older boys. They were 5 and almost 3 at the time.
These are the kids that are hard to adopt.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. And they're half African-American, half Caucasian, and so they were hard to place at that age and mixed being a mixed race. So but our family was open, and we went up there 2 weeks later, and I was 22 weeks pregnant and adopted these 2 boys. So and we've had a baby since then and might have more.
Okay, what I've got to ask you is, were you and your husband both together in this? I mean, like, there's no limit to the number of children. Tell me your heart on that. Or how you
Well, we view children the same as God views them. They're blessings.
Yes.
So you can't have too many blessings.
That's right.
So we accept them as they come, just as we'd accept, you know, more money, bigger house, nicer car. You know, we also accept children because they're the best and most talked about blessing in the Bible. So we accept as many as the Lord will send us and actually hope for more. So,
you know, what's amazing is people, the excuses, well, it costs too much to raise children.
No, it's your lifestyle that costs too much, not your children.
Beautiful.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, what are the ages?
There's 18, 10, 9, 8, 6, 4, 2, and 1.
What a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm standing here looking at them, and they're all just beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Children. And what amazes me about these families are the children, their behavior.
Yes.
I've never seen better behaved children ever. You see families with one or two, and they're little hellions.
That's right.
And these kids are wonderful, and we're out in front of an abortion clinic. I know yesterday when I first met you, you mentioned that, you know, you just didn't know if you wanted to come. What got you out here?
Well, yesterday was kind of hard getting here.
Uh-huh.
So, as is every morning, it seems that, you know, spiritual attacks happen, you know, life happens, and it always happens on a day we're meant to, you know, come out here, but we decided to come anyway. As usual, we just kind of, you know, go through whatever needs to be gone through to get here. And
did your kids complain about coming?
No, they beg us to come. I used to do this as a child, come out with my parents with Operation Rescue, and so I was used to this, but kind of cut off from college, you know, just getting married to now, and we started up probably last year or the year before doing pro-life ministry with the Pregnancy Resource Center in the area, and the kids begged us, we've got to go to the clinic, we've got to stop this. So it's them that moved us to restart this and to get back out here. So yeah, they asked me, if I don't bring it up, they say, when are we going next?
You know, that's what I found with children. Everybody says, oh, you know, I don't want my children to see those signs or hear that. But children say they don't feel that way.
Mm-mm.
They're sad that we're not doing something to stop
exactly.
it. And they want to do everything to stop the killing of these infants.
Exactly. They see the truth better than we see it. And they want to act upon it and wonder why us adults are just sitting and letting it go by.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Well, we can learn a lot from our children.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. They have the same Holy Spirit we have, and
yes,
sometimes they utilize it better than we do.
Yes, they do. It's like they have less interference. We have life going on.
That's right.
In Egypt.
That's exactly right.
That is wonderful. Well, you've got a beautiful family, and it's really nice meeting you.
Thank you.
And
nice meeting you.
I just love watching the families. They make me so happy. And the kids are just beautiful.
It's wonderful.
So, well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This has been Ruth Darr with Dividing Line. Well, as you can hear from the interview, the parents that we've talked to so far, the mothers and fathers later, these are people that understand that kids will not always do what you say, but they do what you do. So they will follow you. They will mimic you. And these parents are taking their kids out and showing them how to truly minister to people, how to reach out to those who are lost and hurting. And these kids make their parents go because they see that they want these next generations saved. So that is just so powerful. I love that. But I think it'd be good if we talk about Tulsa, what's available here in Tulsa, because many of the girls going in to have an abortion are told that we, the people out in front of the clinic handing out information, don't really care about them or their babies. Well, the opposite is true. Not only are we there for them at this critical time, we have resources available to help them from this moment on. In almost every city, you can find a crisis pregnancy center. The people running these centers are available to help girls in the most trying time of their lives. And we have interviewed many of them on this program. Right here in Tulsa, we have excellent resources. One is Mend Medical Clinic and Pregnancy Resource Center, founded by Nancy Rowe. And they have services available for all the girls. And you can check them out at www.mendpregnancy.org. Their phone number is area 918-645-6000.
And honey, they do everything, don't they? I mean, from ultrasound to, I mean, baby clothes to taking care of the mother, the whole process.
And, you know, we had talked earlier about the fathers.
Yeah.
And they also include
the young man for counseling or information. They really teach them, and they have a wonderful program here I want to tell you about. But they offer ultrasound, STD testing, free pregnancy test, confidential counseling, and emergency formula, diapers, baby food, maternity clothes, baby furniture, adoption referrals, legal and medical referrals, childbirth and parenting classes, and support groups. So that plus more. I didn't even put down all
so
that
they try
available.
To bring the father involved along with the mother.
Yes, they do.
Okay,
yes,
I think that's really good, because so many times you really hear that, well, the father doesn't have any say-so.
Right, right.
And I'd say he probably doesn't have enough, but certainly their goal is to have parents involved.
Yes, definitely. Yes, yeah. They work with both and the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a wonderful program that they call Baby Bucks. And this program allows the girls and the young men to come in and watch educational videos. It teaches them the information that they may need for whatever their situation is. And by how many hours they spend watching this, they receive bucks or like credit at the store, and they could purchase then items for if the girl's just pregnant, maternity clothes, and if they need them for their children.
So there's some incentive there to do right, if you will. And
we can just hand out things to people all we want. But the important thing in this is let people know that they're earning what they get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really satisfying for them. They feel better about themselves. And there's and they do have adoption referrals, but there's another organization in Tulsa called Crisis Pregnancy Outreach, founded by Cheryl Bowman in March of 1983. And you can check them out at www.crisispregnancyoutreach.org. Their phone number is area 918-527-7907. And this group, we know Cheryl Bowman, we've known her for years, wonderful, dedicated. I believe they've been for 27 and a half years, she's been doing this.
You know, when I think of Cheryl Bowman and this organization, I think of quality, excellence.
Yes.
They do
definitely.
Things properly.
Definitely. Yeah. And when they meet a girl who is pregnant, and you know, some parents will ship their girls to another city or for whatever, but if they do come in contact with Cheryl Bowman, they have host homes where a girl can live with a family, and then after their baby comes, they have apartments set up where the girls can live until they get their feet on the ground. They have families who are ready to adopt their babies, and this is really neat because a family will do a book. You can go like through Walgreens and send your pictures in and do your family history, and then they keep these. Crisis Pregnancy Outreach is a licensed adoption agency, and they do open adoptions, and you can, the girls who are looking for a family for their baby can go through these books, and it's really amazing as the girls go through and read the history of the family. It's like the Lord shows them which one would be the right person to raise their child.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, honey. We certainly know the answer, but are there enough families out there to adopt these children?
There's thousands.
I mean, we could take every child that's being aborted today.
Yes.
Mothers, please hear this. Grandmothers, whoever, dads that might be involved. We can help you. That's what we stress. There is a home for every child. If you don't feel like you could be that mother or father right now, let somebody else take care of that child and bring them into to this world.
We know that families are going overseas to adopt, and now a lot of countries are closing that off because they've realized how many people from America are coming to bring the Chinese babies or European babies over here because we don't have them. We've killed ours.
Mm-hmm.
We've killed so many. But a lot of those doors are being closed. And so the girls need to know that there's thousands of people waiting right now to adopt.
Absolutely.
There are families.
Yeah.
The one amazing thing about both of these agencies are they are all volunteers. Now, I know CPO, no one involved with CPO takes a salary at all. And they've been going for 27 and a half years.
That is an absolutely incredible record. I mean... Yeah, so you can imagine how the dollars really, truly work. I mean, where they're not even taking a salary, and I can understand if somebody needs to take a salary.
Right, right. But the girls, well, I'll tell you some of the things they do. Their mission statement is to provide love and assistance free of charge to women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy and to their children as well. To help the young women do what they feel is best for their babies and to help them become all that God created them to be. And I like Cheryl's personal mission. It says to get up each morning and make myself available to Jesus' calling for me that day. And she said, truly, his mercies are new every morning for each of us. And every day, I mean, what an exciting life. When she wakes up every morning, she knows God has something special for her that day. And that's what she's looking forward to, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Willing, very, very willing heart. Well, these services for CPO, they have a team of professionals during and after pregnancy, physical and emotional support. And I know that she told me that they will, a girl that goes through their agency and does the open adoption, they have a weekly, or I think it's a monthly counseling session for a full year afterwards.
Wow.
So these girls can call day or night and still get help. They have someone to go to, someone they can talk to.
Honey, we're about out of time for the first segment here. So we're talking about actual on-the-ground application,
yes,
taking care of needs at no cost. These,
yes,
two agencies you've just mentioned in Tulsa, Oklahoma, will take,
yes,
care of your baby at no charge.
Yes.
And the,
yes,
mom and the dad,
yes,
helping,
yes,
anyway.
Yeah.
Well, this has been
too.
An interesting segment. We'll be back here in a few minutes. And Ruth will be doing another interview with Scott Heldreth. And I think you'll find it very interesting. Bill and Ruth Darr with Dividing Line.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
I'm sure you've heard that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But why then, since 1960, have African Americans rejected any Republican running for office and elected Democratic Party officials to run their communities? Did you know that the cities with the highest crime, teenage pregnancy and poverty rates, as well as the lowest high school graduation rates, are all run by Democratic officials, from the mayors down to the city councils? Now I know what you're thinking. This is just some Republican trick perpetrated by some racist Republican group. No, just some free-thinking black folks who have decided that the insanity must stop. We're not telling you to vote Republican. We're just telling you to stop and think before you vote for another Democrat that promises you the same thing and gives you what you've gotten for the past 50 years. Just think about it. For more information, check out newblackthought.blogspot.com. That's newblackthought.com. blogspot.com.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772. 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Known as mighty deeds.
Well, this is Bill and Ruth Darr, and we're back for the second half. I hope you enjoyed the first half there. We had a couple different interviews, and these were interviews out on the street in the front of La Trobe Abortion Center there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And again, they may have been a little hard to hear at times. There was quite a bit of background noise. But I want you to have a feel, Ruth and I want you to have a feel for really what goes on around some of these abortion mills. And the word goes out, people are pleading for the mothers to save their babies, moms and dads, save their babies, and let them know there's so many services available, as Ruth stressed there for the last few minutes of that first section. Okay, on this portion of our program, we have an interview that Ruth did with Scott Heldreth, and it's about a 15-minute interview. I think you will find it very interesting. Here's a man that's, he and his family are getting ready to go to the Philippines as missionaries, and he'll tell you some life experiences. So, Benjamin, let's roll it.
Hello, this is Ruth Darr with Dividing Line, and we're on the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, at the OSA National Event. And I've been talking to families, because here we're finding many large families. And not only are they large, but the kids are awesome. They're very considerate. They're respectful. They work well with each other. I haven't heard any screaming or fighting. And I am just amazed, because that's not what I see at home. I see families with one or two kids, and it's like a constant battle. They're not appreciative. They're not respectful. And there's a common denominator among these families. And I'm talking to a friend of ours, Scott Heldreth. We met him in March 03. He actually met him at our home when he was there for an event in Tulsa. And his family, they have 8 children, and they're getting ready to go to the Philippines as missionaries. So he's got a story to tell. And I'm wanting Scott to tell us kind of what it's like, kind of where you came from, Scott, mm-hmm. and how you and Kathy got together and the kids and the whole thing. So here's Scott Heldreth.
Yeah. Well, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor, and I grew up basically just like just knowing about God on some level or another, but the church was basically introverted. It was basically its own functions. They weren't really evangelistic. They weren't growing through people getting saved and coming into the church. It was more like people getting disgruntled from one church and coming into our church. And so just growing up, I watched the church, and I didn't want to have any part of it. I was like, I just saw the ridiculousness of it. They were more enamored by the things of the world than they were with this God that they said that they loved. And I thought, if he's that great and important, why are all these other things, you know, in your lives? So I just went out into the world, and I just had a different belief. I basically became just a almost like a Nazi or whatever. I just believed the weak and the infirm were just a drain on society. I believed that the bigger and stronger had the right to rule. And so I just was an alcoholic, a drug addict, just a man of violence and in and out of jail. And I ended up going to jail for a significant period of time. And when I was in jail, I just started to wonder if God was real. And I wasn't even looking if the Christian God, if Jesus Christ was real, just if there's a God. So I read, there's just several different books I was reading on God and different religions. And as I read the Word of God, as I read the Bible, it just had a different power to it. It would keep me up at night. It would stir something within my soul, my spirit, that would trouble me. And the other books, it was just like reading words. And so the more I read it, the more I realized that God had a call on my life. And I had a real issue with Jesus one night. I was in solitary confinement, and I was wrestling with him, and I told him I hated him. I hated who he was and his people. I said, I'll never become one of your people. Your people are corrupt. And Jesus kept saying he loved me, and I would tell him how I hated him. And his love conquered me and melted my heart. And very shortly after that, I ended up getting out of prison and going home with my parents. And my wife was actually my mother's prayer partner.
Wow.
And so I didn't have any friends to say, because all my friends were in the world. So I started hanging out with this friend of my mom's or whatever, and I didn't think anything of it at first. But the more we talked about what was on her heart and what was on my heart about the Lord, about the plight of the helpless through abortion and even orphans, and and just the need for Jesus in the culture. I fell in love with her for her love for Jesus. And she could give you the exact timeline, but we were pretty quickly married soon after I asked her to marry me.
We remember dates and times very well. We never forget, so I will get it from Gabby.
Yeah, she's got it all down. But just one thing that we really agreed with, that we both talked about, was children. Mm-hmm. That we wanted what God wanted for us, whether it was a big family or a small family. Our bodies were not our own. That we were bought with a price. And so when I said, I surrender all to you, Jesus, that means my body and my life. And that's including her. She surrendered her life and her body. And if children are a blessing from God, then I would want to be blessed. And one thing early on proposed to me by the Lord in a time of prayer is, if somebody was to offer you $1 million, would you pray and consider and wait and see, or would you receive it? Because you could use it for great, you know, gain in the kingdom. And you wouldn't even think twice about taking $1 million or receiving it.
Right.
Yet we consider prayer for children, whether or not children would be good in a season or not, you
yes,
know.
Yes.
And so we both agreed we're going to have whatever God gives us. And God has blessed us with 8 children. And
tell me their names.
Joshua's our firstborn, Naomi, and then Jeremiah, Abigail, Esther, Noah, Eleazar, and Zechariah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, your kids are not only mighty in your family, they're mighty in the Lord's work, because they've been out on the streets with you guys from the beginning.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about some of the things that kids have done.
Well, like you said, they've been out. They were always there in strollers from the time they were little, holding a little sign or just the praying. And just as they grew up, God just gave them a burden, you know, for what was on our hearts and what was on the Lord's heart for the helpless. And one of the most significant things that ever happened in our lives, our oldest son was 10. And at that time in our nation, we were starving Terry Schiavo to death and kind of watching it as entertainment. And the church was kind of grumbling and complaining about it, but they weren't really reacting as if it was a serious time in our nation's history where the entire nation was shifting away from what it once held to the value of human life, even for the handicap. But my son Joshua stopped eating and drinking when they took her feeding tube out.
Wow.
And we'd been praying for her on other occasions throughout his life. And about 3 days into it, he said, you know, maybe she would just need an ice cube. Because his mouth was dry and he was so thirsty. And he said, Dad, I really want to go. And Pastor Flip and others had gone down to stand in the gap for her life. And I didn't have a way to get down there. And the Lord supernaturally provided a ride. And I took Joshua down there. And he was one of the ones who was arrested for walking across the line to give her water. And it wasn't anything from us. We didn't tell him. In fact, all of our kids wanted to go. Let's make that clear. I had to tell him, no, not everybody's going. But that just gave him a platform at 10 years old to stand for life. And so I'm impressed by him. All my kids. But
what did the judges say? Did he go to court over that?
Yeah, well, he had to write a letter to as part of his terms of being in trouble. Well, first of all, they arrested him and they gave him an evaluation, a psychological evaluation,
yes.
You know, and all that. And one question they ask him is, do you see things that others don't see and hear things others don't hear? And he said yes, because he said that if the pastors heard what he was hearing and saw what he was seeing, they would respond to Terry's death. So he wasn't saying like hearing strangely, but hearing the voice of God, you know.
Yes, they were trying to tell him he was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Greta Van Susteren on the Fox News, you know, interviewed him and asked him, you know, why would he do it, or what was the need for a little kid? And he said, well, once again, if pastors were doing it, a 10-year-old boy wouldn't have to do it. So he has a really strong perspective.
Powerful. Very powerful.
Yeah, so. Wow. But yeah, he wrote a letter of apology for that, and what he had to apologize for was trespassing. So he wrote an incredible letter. I think it's up online still. On somewhere, if you look up Joshua Heldreth,
okay.
and it's his letter apology that he wrote, and just saying, I'm sorry for trespassing and breaking an earthly law, but it was the higher law, and he explained the higher law of God. And
this is a 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Folks, that's what these kids have learned by being on the streets. That's what they've learned from getting out of the four walls and learning to take a stand. But that means that they've got strong parents who have led them out there. And I think that's where the respect comes from, the respect the kids have for the parents, because they're not afraid to take a stand for righteousness, take a stand on the street, and that is just wonderful. Well, I was just thinking of your kids. I remember being in another clinic here, and the preciousness of the kids. I mean, they're holding signs, they're saying things, and then they're just playing together and entertaining each other. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I just love it.
It's awesome.
Well, okay, so now you've got 8 kids.
Yep.
And you've been involved in pro-life for several years.
Yes, 17, 18 years, something like that.
All right. Now what? God's got you going on another venture.
Yeah.
Let's hear about that.
Well, God has just recently called us to become missionaries in the Philippines, and we'll still be dealing with the pro-life issues overseas. So we'll deal with women who are in crisis pregnancy situations. We're going to house them if they're thrown out of their homes because it's a shame-based culture, you know, and the shame and honor base. We're going to be continually feeding the poor children in our area, and we're going to be running an orphanage, taking in children, and we're not going to have like boys girl dorms and girls dorms or whatever. We're going to bring them into homes. So we're going to be taking in children and hopefully getting them adopted out through the Filipino church that's already there, that they would have no child who could say that he doesn't have a father, no child that would say that he doesn't have a mother. So our, you know, motto is no orphaned, no hungry, and no abused or mistreated. And human trafficking is a huge issue. I just started learning about it the last 9 months, how horrific it is, how it's the number one criminal industry in the world right now. And these children are being abducted and abused because we turn a blind eye. And so we don't know quite how it's going to look right now, but we're definitely going to have a center for those who have been abused and been rescued. And we want to do rescuing ourselves of these children and putting an end to it, putting a stop to it, at least where in that part of the world where we're at, that they would have no abducted children. So
that's wonderful. So what part of the Philippines will you be going to?
It's Mindanao, which is the bottom island. It's the one of the largest islands. And we've got like 40 acres of land. And so we're going to be able to build on it. And we're also going to be building we're farming so that the work is self-sustaining. We don't want it to be dependent necessarily on U.S. dollars for its existence. We want to be able to bring as many people in and feed them and have it sustained within that culture. So.
What a ministry. That is wonderful. Well, I'm anxious to hear the rest of your story as you leave. I know you're planning to do that within the year.
Yeah.
And leave. And how are the kids as far as going?
They are super, super excited. They've all had on their hearts at one time or another, or orphans or the hungry. They've always had a focus on others, you know. Yes. My children are not selfish. It's one thing about a big family that I find, as you had mentioned, seeing other families that are large. There's a tendency when you're just a single or just a small family to become a very selfish individual, self-driven. But in a larger family, there's needs for many. And it extends from just their brothers and sisters to the nations, to the world. So
it does. It starts by them helping out with the little ones and giving of their time and their energy to help with the little ones. And that's what I've seen with your family.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely beautiful. What also amazes me is the distance you travel when absolutely there's no known income at the time. You know,
that's
how
right.
will we do it? But God says, go.
Yeah.
And you go.
God is faithful to provide. Either he's true or he's a liar. Either, because, you know, some of the church talks about him as provider, but we never get out of the boat.
Yes.
You know, like really, we can walk on water financially. We can walk on water and move mountains and these things. And I think it's a testimony to God, our lives. People see the provision of God, and there's no way I can do it, you know.
Right.
But God can.
Yes, he can. Well, I've just... question popped into my mind. Tell me what your dad thinks of you now.
Oh, he's very proud, and he's a mighty man of God, and he's excited for his grandchildren. And yes. Actually, all my sisters right now are in ministry of a sort. They're going to go to India for doing an orphanage. So it's
how
a testimony.
Siblings do you have?
I have 3 sisters, no brothers.
Wow.
So.
Well, that your father has to be very proud of you. It shows that he raised you up right. And what also comes to mind is we don't serve our daddy's God.
That's right.
we have to find him.
Amen.
And sometimes the trip is a little bit longer, a little more involved than others.
Yeah.
But you found him.
Absolutely.
And that's awesome. Well, it's exciting for me. My father had an orphanage.
Oh, wow.
In Tulsa. And he did it as a home, too. Mm. He didn't want kids institutionalized.
Amen.
That was his goal. So he brought them in as a family. Family meals, family prayer in the morning, devotions. And I remember I'd be there before school, and we all knelt down, and the boys got to kneel in the middle of the floor, put their head on the floor.
Mm.
And I was so jealous. I had a dress on, and I couldn't do that. And I always thought, I want to kneel like the boys kneel.
Yeah,
I want to pray like the boys pray.
It's
so
awesome.
It was an awesome experience. I always thought I was one of 54 kids because we had the average of 50 kids in the orphanage. So I hear your heart. I love it. I know it makes a tremendous difference.
Yeah.
And I'm anxious to hear. At some point, we'll get back with you and find out how everything goes. And I'll talk to Kathy later on and get
definitely.
Her perspective, because you guys have been such a team. It's really beautiful watching you.
That's awesome.
Thank you. This has been Scott Holdreth.
Yep.
We're on Dividing Line and Ruth Dar. Thank you.
Well, you could title this Training Your Children by Words and Example. And Scott and Kathy have been leading out in the pro-life area and taking their children to the gates of hell or the abortion clinic since they were born. When children experience strong, godly parents who are not willing to back down, they follow in their footsteps.
Honey, I was listening to that, and I was thinking of you and your family, and I knew it meant a lot to you when he was talking about blessing children, and you went you went back and thought about that time when your folks had that orphanage all those years, and our children's home.
Children's
they
home.
Didn't call it an orphanage, did they?
No.
Because they wanted it to feel like a home.
It was a home.
And as you've told me often, you were one of 54.
That's
I
right.
thought you were one of four, but... You had about 50 others there, and so you didn't feel, you felt blessed all those years, didn't you?
Oh, yes, very blessed, yes.
Wow.
Yes, I did.
Okay, we've got a lot to talk about here, but Scott referred to the Terry Schiavo case.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, many of our listeners will be aware of this. If you're not, let me just remind you, let me tell you a little bit about who this lady was. Terry Schiavo was a lady lived in Florida, and as a result of an accident, wound up in special medical care needing a feeding tube to sustain life. And the point now is notice she only needed food and water to live. Wasn't as if she was kept alive any other way, but she was not able to feed herself, so she had to take nourishment through a feeding tube. After many years, by court order, the feeding tube was removed, and she died of dehydration and starvation after 13 or 14 days. And quite frankly, if you're a youngster, whatever, and you're not aware of this story, if you haven't heard about it, you need to go back and Google that and study that, because it's incredible what we did or allowed to happen to this lady. Her family, her mom and dad and siblings, fought very hard to save her life. Her husband, sadly, Michael Schiavo, got the court order that ultimately killed her.
Yes.
It's just that simple. That's really the facts of it. Okay, this young 10-year-old Joshua Heldreth, now this is what Scott's talking about, was arrested for trying to give Terry a cup of cold water.
Yes, yes.
So I was just reminded of what God said about that. He says in Matthew 10:42 and Mark 9:41, Jesus talking now, that we should give a cup of cold water in his name. So that's kind of the background for this.
Okay. Well, and Scott told me when we were off the mic, he said that when Joshua decided that he wasn't going to eat or drink because she couldn't eat or drink, and he said after the third day, he came to him, he said, Daddy, could I just have an ice cube? He said, Terry just needs an ice cube. And he was so dry that he would have done anything for her. But... Yeah. let me tell you something else that's kind of interesting. Father Frank Provond, who's the pro-life leader for the Catholic Church, was allowed to go in and visit
He was providing counseling for the family, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But he said that one of the hardest things for him is when he went in there, and on the table next to her bed was a vase of flowers in water.
Yeah.
And she laid there and looked at that nightstand with that vase of water, dying of thirst.
Yeah.
And no one could give her a drink. Well, let me tell you about a brave little boy. This is in the Tampa Bay LifeSiteNews.com, August 31st, 2005. It says 10-year-old Joshua Heldreth, the eldest of eight children, was arrested on Good Friday of this year, 2005, for trespassing while attempting to bring a drink of water to Miss Terry Schiavo. Days later, Terry Schiavo died of intentional dehydration. In court, Joshua pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 25 hours of community service in order to write an apology for his actions. And I have his letter here. I want to read this to you. In this little boy's handwriting, it says, to whom it may concern.
10 years old now.
Okay. To whom it may concern. My name is Joshua Heldreth. I am 10 years old. I was arrested on Good Friday for trespassing on the hospice center's property. I'm not a lawbreaker. I keep God's law. That is very important to me. In the Bible, it says that thou shalt not murder in the Ten Commandments. It says to love your neighbor as yourself. It also says in Matthew 25, when I was hungry and thirsty, you gave me food and water. Doing it for others was like doing it for God, and he called the people who did that righteous. He let them into heaven. So I wanted to do the same thing. Not giving Mrs. Schiavo food or water was wrong. The reason I had to go on your property was because Jesus would do the same thing. It made me sad that she was so thirsty, and it made Jesus sad too. I knew she would die without water, and I am called by Jesus to be a defender of the defenseless. So I had to go on your property to try to bring a drink, bring her a drink. I'm sorry that you didn't like that and wouldn't allow me to help her when I came on your property. I'm also sorry you didn't help save her life, and one day you will have to tell God why. I won't be able to help you then like I tried to help her. I will pray for you every day that you will someday have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and serve him wholeheartedly no matter what. Joshua Heldreth. That's a 10-year-old.
And a little child, she'll lead them.
That's right. And, you know, this is a child who's been raised out defending the defenseless. That's the way he was brought up. And he saw her no different than a child getting ready to be sacrificed. It was a human being that God created, the image of God, being sacrificed.
He saw his mom and dad out there being faithful, didn't he?
That's right.
And they really have been.
Mm-hmm. You know, people wonder how can we train our children to care about others? How can we train them to not be selfish and self-centered? Well, this is a good way, isn't it?
Yeah. So you train them by your action, and there's a saying, you train them by their actions, and you speak if you must, something to that effect.
Yes. But he said not giving Mrs. Schiavo food or water was wrong. And he said, I'm called by Jesus to be a defender of the defenseless, so I had to go on your property. I had to break the law of man because I had to obey the law of God. The law of God has precedence
over
the law of
man. Young
man,
you understand it right.
He does.
Yes.
He does. And I just love it. He said, I'm sorry that you didn't like that and wouldn't allow me to help save her life. And one day you will have to tell God why. Mm. I won't be able to help you then like I tried to help her, and I will pray for you every day. Well, Scott, his father, was weeping tears of joy, seeing that his son not only talked the Christian talk, but he walked the Christian walk.
Oh, my. Well,
a family.
I think that would touch anybody's heart. And I tell you, folks, as I said in the introduction, some reason today that's really on my mind, if you don't know the Lord, the Jesus of this Bible, I encourage you today to accept him as your Lord and Savior. I really do. And I encourage you to study his word. If you want to get some truth in a world of untruth and that's shaky and it's on shifting sand, I can tell you about a God of the Bible that's built on the rock, and his name is Jesus. Well, we have limited time here. I want to hit on something called personhood very quickly. We've got two or three things on that. First of all, if you're not aware of personhood, basically what it is, it's to identify the unborn as a person with all the protections under the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. It's really about that simple. Yes. And a lot of different states are working hard to get personhood on the ballot in their states. Mm-hmm. I know Mississippi they'll be voting in November of 2011. There's a lot of other states involved. There's going to be a personhood conference in Wichita, Kansas. And those of you that hear this before then, and hopefully you will, on September the 11th, 2010, it'll be at River Lawn Christian Church, 4243 North Meridian, and that's in Wichita, Kansas. And let me just give you an idea of a few of the speakers that day. It's going to be wonderful, the speakers and the training that you'll receive. And if you have an interest in this, and I hope you do, this is a way to save children and unborn children. One speaker will be Rebecca Kiesling. And by the way, she was the note says that I have not met her, that she was conceived in rape. You always hear of these stories of incest and rape, and they're awful. But this lady was saved. Somebody saved her, and a mom saved her through all the tragedy. And now she's an attorney and international pro-life speaker. Mm-hmm. Reverend Walter Hoy. If you didn't come for anybody else, you got to come to hear him. He is from the San Francisco area, doing an incredible job out in California. Johanna Dastio, Huvalto Garcia Jones, he's an attorney from Denver, and he's done a lot of work on personhood, Colorado, and other places. Also, the National Directors of Personhood, Cal Zastro and Keith Mason, will be there. And our good friend, Reverend Flip Benham, National Director of Operation Save America. It will be a full day. You'll need to register. You can go online and personhoodkansas.com/events and make sure you get signed up. You need to call in and let them know. I think you can do it on email by September the 4th. And again, the meeting is on the 11th. Okay, we're down to about 1 minute. You just never have enough time here. But do you have anything, honey?
One thing I'd like to mention is 40 Days for Life begins here in Tulsa, September 22nd through October 31st. And there have been several clinics that have shut down because people have actually been out at the clinic 40 days, 24/7. So come join us here in Tulsa for 40 Days for Life.
Okay, in closing, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Nathan Hale said when he was being hung by the British for being a spy for the United States during the American Revolution, "I regret that I have only one life to give for my country." Folks, one person can do it if we're just committed before God. Jesus will make it happen for us. Bill and Ruth Darr for Dividing Line.